Say, I'm going to start a series on the book of Jonah this morning. I was trying to come up with one more message on the almost true, and I was looking through there and I was reading in the book of Jonah, and I thought, boy, I got one. And as I just kept going, I read the whole book of Jonah, and I thought, I'm just going to do a study on the book of Jonah. So there's a lot of things in there that that can speak into our hearts. And so this morning, I want to talk to those of you who are followers of Jesus. You're a Christian this morning, and I just want to ask you this morning, how many of you want to hear from God? Amen. Amen. All right, you want God's will for your life, and I want to tell you, that's great news. I'm excited to hear everybody say that, but I want to tell you, whenever we begin to want God to speak into our lives, I want to tell you that oftentimes God is going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Amen? Okay, and we're going to see that through this message series over the next few weeks. We're just going to kind of go through the book of Jonah and just see what God has in store for us. So how many of you basically know the story of Jonah? Most of you know it, you know, but for those that don't, I'm just going to give you a quick recap and then we're going to go into it. But, you know, most of us, we think about this guy named Jonah, and God asked him to go to a certain city, Nineveh, and to preach, and he says no. And so he decides, I'm going to run from God. He goes, he gets on a boat. He gets thrown off the boat, fish swallows him, fish vomits him, and he goes, he preaches, and everybody lives happily ever after. That's kind of the story of Jonah, right? Is that what everybody kind of thinks about this? Well, I believe that we're going to find some things here in our story in this book. But first I want to ask you, let's start with the basics. Who is the main character of the book of Jonah? One more time?
God.
Okay. Wow, I was expecting you to say Jonah. Most people, and I think I heard a few people say Jonah. Jonah's not the main character. And then some people think that the big fish is about it. But the story is really about God. And so I want us this morning to know that God is the main character of this story. And the story is going to start out, it's going to start out in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. I'm just going to start there. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Okay, so the word of the Lord. How many of you know that God is a God who speaks? Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, our God is a God who speaks, and I want you to understand that He's still speaking today. He still speaks to us today. And just like the word of the Lord came to Jonah, I believe that over these next few weeks, as we get into this word, that the word of the Lord is going to come to you and to me. If you have ears to hear, I believe that God is going to speak to you and to me, and He's going to help guide and direct our next steps in Him. But sometimes what God says to you and what God asks you to do, it just may not be something that you're ready or willing to do. And so Jonah 1:1 starts this way. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And what God's saying here is He's saying, hey, Jonah, you're the prophet. Go and do what prophets do, and I want you to preach repentance to these evil people. And let's see what He says. He says, call them to turn to me because they have done horrible things. And I want you to know, too, that if he had done what God had told him to do right here, if he would have just said, okay, God, and gone and done what he had said he was asked him to do, to preach to these people, they would have turned to God, but he didn't do that. And we see instead he did what a lot of us do. A lot of us, in verse 3 is going to tell us what a lot of us do. God told him to what to do. He said, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah did his own thing, and he headed to Tarshish, which is in the very opposite direction of where he had asked him to go. So somebody help me out. When he went down, where's my neck? Yeah, he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish in order to flee from the Lord. So Scripture says that Jonah ran from God. And in fact, if you know the geography of this whole thing, you'll see that Jonah really ran a long, long ways from God. So God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went down to Joppa. And that's where he would have got on the boat, and he had got to go over to Nineveh. But instead, he found a boat, and he went the opposite direction. And geographically, if you want to know how this is, so Joppa, if you go to the west or to the east of Joppa, about 550 miles, that's where the city of Nineveh is. But he didn't go west, did he? He went east. He went west is where he went. He didn't go east. He went west. Okay? And when he went all the way to Tarshish, he went 2,500 miles away trying to run away from God. So he ran a long ways to get away from God. And he went about as far as he could, actually, to get away from what God asked him to do. And the Scripture tells us God told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah found this ship that was bound to Tarshish. Can I tell you this morning that if you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. And I promise you, you can always find a boat that's sailing in the opposite direction of what God's asking you to do. Jonah disobeyed God. God gave him an assignment, but what Jonah said was, no, I'm not going to do that. Why did he run from God? A lot of people think that the reason was is he was afraid of the people of Nineveh. But he didn't want to preach to the people of Nineveh because he despised the Ninevites. He despised them. And I want to give you the context here really quick. So Jonah, he was a Jewish Hebrew from Israel. That's who Jonah was. And Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And so the Assyrians, they hated the Israelites, and the Israelites hated the Assyrians. And these people, they despised each other so much. Now, I believe that the Israelites had a really good reason for despising the Assyrians. And I don't want to get too graphic in this, but I want you to understand how much the Jewish Hebrew people and the people of Israel hated the Assyrians and why they hated them. Because when the Assyrians would go into a city and they would capture that city, they just were horrible, horrible people. They would rape the women and they would kill the children. And then the men that survived the attack, the story goes that they would skin them alive, they would bury them in the sand, and then they would pull out their tongue and drive a stake through it and let them die a horrible, horrible death. And so we can see that that there's some reason for this bad blood, right? But Jonah, he just couldn't stand these people. And I believe that the real reason that he didn't want to go to Nineveh and to preach God's word to them and salvation to them is because he knew the character of God. He knew the character of God, and he didn't want God to show mercy and grace and actually forgive these people that he hated so much. I believe that that's why Jonah ran away from God. And when he did, he started to rationalize his disobedience. And what does it mean to rationalize sin? I went over this with you last week. We defined it in our message last week. Does anybody remember what it is? It says, when our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. And so he probably thought something like, hey, these people are so evil. They're so mean. They don't deserve God's love. They don't deserve his grace. And so I'm not going to do it. And he began to rationalize his own sin. And the reality of that is that some of us right now, you're rationalizing some sin in your life. Maybe God's asked you to do something. Maybe he's asked you to serve somewhere or to give something to someone or to be a witness or to forgive someone. And you think to yourself, you know, I'm not ready for it. This isn't the best time. I don't feel like doing it. And so I'll just do it later. And I want to tell you this morning, and I've been there. If you're putting off what God's told you to do, I want you to understand something. Delayed disobedience or delayed obedience is still disobedience. Those of you that are parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you train your kids. One, you better stop it. Two, you better stop it. I'm going to tell you, my mom and dad didn't do that. While they were reaching over the back seat of the car, slapping at my legs, they were, don't you make me pull this car over. Anybody ever been there? Okay, I wasn't the only bad kid. Thank you. Thank the Lord. I'm not in the only boat. Okay. Oh, goodness. But delayed obedience is disobedience. And a lot of times people think about spiritual maturity. You know, it takes spiritual maturity to obey God. And what does it mean to really be spiritually mature in your relationship with God? There's a lot of things and a lot of definitions I could have come up with, but for this lesson and this message today, I came up with a different one. Because I know a lot of Christians, we think that if we're going to be spiritually mature, we got to have Bible knowledge. And Bible knowledge is great. It's very, very important, but it's not just knowledge. It's actually knowing what to do with that knowledge. And in fact, if you were to ask me this morning for this message, the definition that I feel for spiritual maturity this morning is, I would say it's a short response time between God's commands and our obedience. It's a short response time. That's maturity if we're looking at it in this lesson context. And that when God says something, that we don't argue, we don't question, you just obey and you do what he asks you to do. And so we see in our story here that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and Jonah ran from God. When he ran from God, do you think that his life got better or do you think it got worse? Absolutely. Once he started to run from God, his life started going downhill. In fact, it's really interesting when you begin to read the book of Jonah, you begin to study this out, you're going to see two directions that are mentioned in the book of Jonah. You're going to see up, where he says arise and go, and then you're going to see the word down, the direction down. And in fact, I can show you three different verses in this story that talks about down. So Jonah 1:3, it says, Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah 1:5 says, Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship. Jonah 2:3 says, Jonah was thrown down to the bottom of the sea. And so as you read through this whole book, you're going to see direction. And God calls him up, but Jonah rebels and he goes down. And that's what happens when you run from God. You go down, down, down. Say that with me. Down, down, down. Verse 4 shows us exactly what happens next. And so here's the main character. The main character is God. Okay, and it says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, so violent that the ship threatened to break up. Now, I want you to understand, who sent this storm? God. All right. God sent the storm. And all of the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. So we see that these sailors, they don't worship the one true God. They worship their own gods. Okay. And it says, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below. So he went down again, didn't he? He went down. He went below. And it says where he lay down and he fell into a deep sleep. Now, I want you to see there's a lot going on here. And first of all, what's interesting to me about all of this is that these pagan sailors, whenever they got afraid, they became afraid, they started praying. They started praying. Isn't that amazing when people that don't even believe in God, when they get afraid, they start to pray? How many of you remembered 9/11? On 9/11, there was people all over this country praying that never had prayed before. And so that's what these sailors did. They're in this storm, and they're like, God, wherever you are, we need some help. And so they're calling out on him. And what I want you to notice is that these sailors, they had not done anything wrong. Okay? So here's these sailors. They had not done anything wrong, but yet they're in the middle of this storm, that God had sent a storm because of Jonah's rebellion. And I want you to think about this. These sailors, they were suffering because a rebellious guy was on their boat. Now, if I had time this morning, I'd tell some of you that you might be struggling right now because you got the wrong friend in your boat. And if I had more time, I might tell some of you that you're dating someone that's running from God, and you might find yourself in a little bit of a storm, and you might need to throw that guy off your boat. I'm just being real with you this morning. Now, some of you, I know it's getting tough. We're getting stepping on toes, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to say it with love. Some of you, you're not dating Jonah, but you got him all up in that social feed of yours. You're following people that are taking you away from God. And I want to tell you something. Anytime you have a constant voice in your life that's distracting you, when you have a constant voice in your life that's distracting you from the voice of God, I want you to know you might need to get that voice off your boat. This isn't easy, but I believe it needs to be said. So here we are. I'm going to get off that soapbox. So here we are. We have these sailors, and they're in the middle of this storm, and they didn't cause it, and their boat's about to break apart. And what's Jonah doing? Let's take a look at him. Jonah's asleep, isn't he? I want you to notice this. His life is doing what? Help me out. It's going down, down, down. And there he is. He's asleep. And he's not even noticing what's happening. Can I tell you, this is a scary place to be. When you become so comfortable disobeying God, when you become so complacent and so comfortable disobeying God, I want you to know there's a lot of people just like that. Maybe it's some of you. Just like Jonah, at this point in your life, you're becoming more comfortable with your compromise. You're running from God. You're ignoring what God is saying to you time and time again. This is wrong. This is not right. This is not what I had planned for you. And we get so complacent and comfortable in our compromise, and we begin to ignore God that we don't even care. And we have no idea that our life is starting to go down, down, down. And if you're someone that does know God and you're disobeying Him, or maybe you're just becoming spiritually complacent this morning, I've got some really good news for you. It's not going to sound like good news, but here it is. God won't let you get comfortable in your sin. He'll not let you get comfortable in your compromise this morning. God will either send a storm, or He'll allow a storm or some type of consequence in your life to get your attention. That's how much He loves you. And in this case, it was actually God that sent this storm to Jonah because He loved Jonah. And some of you might be saying, well, God, He must be some kind of a cruel God. Why would He do something like this? I want you to understand this is not actually out of meanness. It was out of His love and out of kindness because Jonah was running away. And God sent this storm to try to bring him back. And sometimes God will send a storm to you and to me. Maybe he'll allow a storm. And sometimes the devil can send a storm. And then sometimes we actually bring the storm on ourselves, because sin always has consequences. I know some Christians who do the wrong thing and they end up in a bad place, and the first thing they want to do is they want to blame the devil every time. I just got to tell you that the devil doesn't bring every storm. Some storms we bring on ourselves, right? You know, sometimes we say, oh, the devil took my job. No, you were late every day. Okay? The devil got me in debt. No, that was you, your credit card, and Amazon. Okay? You did that to yourself. You did it all by yourself. God wasn't in that. Amen? The devil doesn't bring every storm. Well, I could keep going there. Some of them we bring on ourselves. We do that. And in this case, though, God lovingly and by His grace, He sent this storm. And Jonah's life was going down, 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 and he didn't even notice because he was so comfortable in his compromise. We see in verse 8, we can see this. The sailors, they ask something like this. They say, hey, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. You know, we didn't do anything wrong. Like, we got the wrong guy in our boat. And so here's what Jonah answers. I think this is pretty fun. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Okay, there we go. This is almost funny to me. Okay, everything's going wrong. And Jonah says, oh, I'm the Hebrew. I worship the Lord. And he says, I worship God. But I'm going to tell you something. He's sure not obeying God, is he? He's the first to step up and say, oh, I'm the Christian. I love Jesus. But then all the while, he's not obeying. And can I tell you that that might be one of the biggest problems represented in the American church today? Like, our church, me, you, we claim to worship God, and yet we're far from him. So I want to ask you this. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Where in your life are you doing something that you know in your spirit that it's wrong? Financially, are you honoring God? In your marriage, are you treating your wife with respect? Wives, are you honoring your husbands? Teenagers, are you obeying your parents? Are we looking at things we shouldn't be looking at? Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? I hope that today we'll pray about that. And I pray that we'll turn away from whatever it is. And I don't want us to be this kind of church where we claim to worship God, but then we do whatever we want. I love you this morning. We can look at verse 11 and it tells us this. It tells us in there that the sea was getting rougher and rougher. And so the sailors, they asked Jonah, they said, what do we need to do to make the seas go calm? In other words, if it's your fault, what do we need to do about it? And I want you to see this. This is a sad, sad statement to me. Jonah says this. He says, hey, pick me up and throw me into the sea. In other words, he says, I know it's my fault. God is bringing this storm because of me. And I want you to see how heartbreaking this is. And I want you to feel the sadness, because I want to say this lovingly and not harshly. And this is where some of you are at right now. Jonah was God's chosen prophet, but he was so far from God. He was so depressed that he doesn't even care if he lives or dies. He says, it's my fault. Throw me overboard. You see, that's heartbreaking to me, because God chose Jonah and God called Jonah. But Jonah ran from God and his life went down, down, down. And can I tell you, there's someone here this morning, or maybe you're watching online, that God has called you and you've said yes and you trusted your life to him and you made the Lord of your life, and you said, God, I want to please you in everything that I do. But then something has happened and you've become complacent in your compromise, and now you're running from him and you're doing your own thing. He said, go this way, and you said, no, I'm going that way. And you've been doing it for so long that you've grown comfortable in it. And maybe life's not going so good for you right now. Maybe you're even this morning, maybe you may be mad at God. Maybe the devil didn't send the storm that you're in. Maybe God did. Maybe he's sending a storm into your life to call you back and to bring you back to him. You see, God called you and you're running from God, and now you're stuck in this storm. And when we ignore God and we ignore that call on our life, we end up in a place that we never, ever wanted to be. We end up depressed and hopeless and helpless, and we see no way out. And then we start looking for somebody to blame, don't we? It must be the sailors' fault, or it must be the Ninevites' fault, or it's God's fault. Sometimes we even try to blame him. It couldn't be my fault, though, could it? That's the way most of us think. Couldn't be my fault. And like Jonah, we get comfortable in our compromise, and we lose all hope, and we just say, throw me in. And what's crazy is the guys in the boat, in modern terms, they would have been the ones that weren't the Christians, but they were the ones actually trying to do the right things. And then you have Jonah, in modern terms, would have said that, well, he's the Christian, but he's the one that's disobeying God. And we have these pagan sailors, and they don't want to do it, but when they had no other choice and the storm got worse, they finally took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the moment that they did, I want you to imagine this. Here they are. They're on this storm. I mean, the boat's tossing and turning. It's about to go down. They've done everything they can to keep it abroad or keep it afloat. And they throw Jonah over, and the sea just goes and comes to a calm, completely calm. And at this, these men, they looked and they had to have thought, any God that can do this is a God that I need to know. He's a God I want in my life. He's a God that I want to worship. Any God that is this powerful, a God that like this, I want to surrender my life to. Cody, would you come to the guitar? I want us to be like those sailors. I want us to see the hand of God move in our life so much that we say, I want to worship that God. I need that God. I want that God in my life. If God has ever reached out to you, the word of the Lord, if it's ever come to you and you've ran away, I want to tell you this morning about the goodness of God. Our God is a refuge and our strength. He is our ever-present help in a time of trouble. Our God, His name is a strong fortress, and the righteous run to it, and they're kept safe. Our God gives strength to the weary. Our God is compassionate, God who heals. He's a God that heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Our God is a generous God who meets all of our needs according to His glorious riches. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that's calling you this morning. That's the God that's dealing with our hearts this morning, saying, please, please stop compromising. He's sending a storm to make you uncomfortable so that you're no longer comfortable in your sin. He loves you that much. He loves me that much. You see, our God is a good God, but He does have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he's a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our God sent His Son, and His name is Jesus. Amen. He came that you and me could have life and have it more abundantly. When you seek God and when you call on God, I want you to know something. You will find Him. He's a good God and He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. A God like this is a God that I want to know. Amen? He's a God that I want to worship. He's a God that's worthy of our praise. Our God is holy this morning, and He's full of grace and mercy. The Bible says that His mercy is new every morning. And I thank God for that because I need it every morning. I don't need it just every once in a while or every other day. I'm going to tell you, I need it every single day. He's the Lord of all. And a God like that is a God that we want to give our lives to. Amen? Stand with me if you would. So Jonah's overboard and he's in the water. No life jacket, no dinghy boat coming to his way, and it looks like it's over. Why? Because the word of the Lord came to him, and he ran from God. The word of the Lord is coming to you this morning. God is speaking to your heart this morning. He's a God who speaks, and he's going to speak to you. And the word of the Lord is coming to you, and he's coming to me this morning. And so I ask you again that question, in what area of your life Are you rationalizing sin and running from God? I pray that this morning that we're going to acknowledge that. We're going to confess it, and we're going to turn from it. And we're going to say sincerely with all our heart, if you're someone that has never known God, I pray this morning that you'll turn to Him, that you'll call out on Him, and you'll ask Him to begin to reveal Himself to you this morning. If you're here this morning and you've strayed from God, I want to ask you to please, please, please stop your running. Stop running. Turn back to Him. He's a God that loves you. He's here this morning, and He's ready to receive you. Maybe you know God and you love God, but you've drifted away somehow, and you've become comfortable in your compromise. This morning, I pray that you'll turn to Him. Turn to Him this morning. He loves you, and He's here this morning, and He's ready to receive you. It's time, it's time, it's time to stop running and to turn to God. Bow your heads and close your eyes. So, Father, we ask this morning that you do what only you can do. Do a cleansing in our hearts this morning, God. And God, I go first. Show me, God, where there's a place in my life where I'm rationalizing sin, where I've become complacent. Any area of my life, God, I pray this prayer this morning sincerely. Show me, God, any area of my life where I'm not pleasing you and where I'm running from you. And today, as you're praying, if you're willing to pray that prayer with me, would you just lift your hands up right now? Just lift your hands up this morning. Because I believe that the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I believe He's a holy God. And I believe that He's worthy of our hearts this morning. He's worthy of our obedience. If you're online, I want you to just type in, "I'm praying that prayer." I want you to ask God this morning, all across this place, God, show me any area of my life, any sin that I'm rationalizing this morning, any area of disobedience to you this morning, any place that I'm running. God, show that to us this morning. Show us, God. And then I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Holy Spirit, we need you in this place. Father, speak into their hearts things that I cannot speak. Father, draw them to you this morning. Father, if there's one in this place that's running, I pray, God, that you would somehow stop us. God, even if it means send a storm. God, you love us so much. Turn us around and draw us back to you this morning. You're here this morning, if there's any area that you're pushing back and you're saying, no, not that area, that is the area that you probably need to pay the most attention to this morning. Amen. And now if God's showing something to you, I'm going to ask everybody very lovingly, because I love you, and I want to ask you, what are you going to do about what God shows you this morning? The word that God has spoken into your heart, the prompt that the Holy Spirit has given you, what are you going to do about it this morning? You see, the word of the Lord is coming to you. God's going to speak. But what are you going to do about what God speaks to you? Father, this morning I pray, God, that you would speak into our lives. Give us the courage to obey. Now, as you keep praying, I'm certain that there's many here this morning. And we're kind of like those sailors. And you kind of pray in times of need. When things get tough, when things get rough, that's when we start to pray. But you don't really know God, and you don't really have an intimate relationship with Him. And like these sailors, they found themselves in a place where they needed help. Maybe that's you this morning. You're saying, Lord, I need help. And just like those sailors, when they saw the goodness of God and the power of the one true God, they were like, man, I want that. I'm all in. I need that God. Let me tell you about that God. That God is holy. He's righteous and He's just. And one day, I want you to know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. The Son of the loving, God. For God so loved the world. He loved you. He loved me. Amen. That he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him and calls on him would not perish but would have eternal life. Can I tell you, it's not because we're good, but it's because of his goodness. It's because he is good. Amen. And I pray this morning that as God is revealing to himself to you this morning, I pray that when you call on the name of Jesus, I want you to know that he's going to hear your prayer and he'll forgive you of all of your sins. He'll make you brand new. And that's where many of us are today. That's why you're here. If you're here this morning, you're not here by accident. You're here because God had a word for you and he's drawing you to the foot of the cross and he's saying, I need you to take my gift. I want to give this gift of salvation to you this morning. That's why you're here. You're not here by accident. And I want everyone to pray with me so no one prays alone. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I pray that you'll pray this prayer with us and mean it from your heart. Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. I trust you. And fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you always. Thank you for this new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.